you know, it's always good to take a break. Going through stacks and stacks of cassette tapes, you know, cassettes is how we used to record everything historically. I remember when the first cassette apparatus came out, I was mesmerized by it. I says, oh my gosh, I can walk down the street and listen to things that I've recorded and have it over and over and over again, but those things wear out. I've found a cut done by a young man that was a member of my church before rap music really got a handle. And he, David, got together with a few of his friends and put together some music. And I found this cut, and I'm going to play it for you. And, of course, it's Christian bass. And I haven't spoken with David in, oh, my God, has to be well over 20-some-odd years, 25, 30 years. When he married his lovely wife, I hear they have a child. I just want to play this music. Enjoy. Listen. Music of David Miles. And David said, hey, Pastor, can I take some of your preaching and put it on my thing? Of course you can. That's what he did. I just found the cassette tape. And I haven't heard this in years. What is it called? It says Pastor John's Copy. And this was done in 1994. 1994, state of mind. And isn't it pertinent today? Because what I was doing is I was talking about God's judgment coming on us because we have not aligned ourselves perfectly. Now I'm going to take you way back, a sermon called The Lamb of God by Reverend Louis Finister. And this was preached at the Olivet Baptist Church. And this is the way preaching was done years ago, friends, years ago. And I'm going to enjoy playing this piece. I got to rewind it first and so that it plays correctly. There we go. I got to rewind it. Woo! These old cassette tapes, because, you know, once they've been played all this time and you try to play them again, they don't work. So I'm going for broke. Let's see what happens. No. Oh, listen.
The following is a production of the Point A Tape Ministry, which is an outreach of evangelism used by the Olivet Baptist Church located in the city of Los Angeles. I am Dwayne Rhodes, the announcer of the Point A Tape Ministry.
This is John Coleman, the recorder of the Point A Tape Ministry. On Sunday, the 17th of March, 1985, Reverend Louis Finister preached a sermon at the Olivet Baptist Church, taken from John chapter 1, verse 29 to verse 34, which we will hear read shortly. I hope that you enjoy the sermon today, which is another of outreach evangelism. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus Christ has promised to do in our lives, and he can do it if we allow him. Enjoy as we did. Our hearts were also blessed because our dear pastor was returned back to us there at Olivet from a slight stay in the hospital. Enjoy the sermon, which is an outreach of evangelism used by our church, the Olivet Baptist Church. The sermon is preached by Reverend Louis Finister. God bless you.
Man, this is going to be interesting listening to this because, man, it was done so many years ago. And, you know, when you find these old masterpieces, old cassette tapes, I mean, dust were on it out in my garage. And I said, what is this stack of tapes? So go back with me. And Louis just passed away not even a year ago from COVID. He was convalescing. His children took very good care of him. And let's just listen to Louis as he speaks to us from heaven.
This morning's scripture is taken from John chapter 1. Verses 29 through 34. John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34 in our Bibles this morning. Beginning with verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Let us all read verse 34 together. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. We thank the Lord for that.
And my heart is glad, and I know yours is too, to see what God can do. A miracle God has performed. God is able. And I'm grateful to God. I told the church that the pastor would be back. You see him? Sitting over there? He's able. And I'm grateful to God this morning. Let's look at our scripture. Verse 29 of John 1. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, look at it. Lamb of God. Look at it. And I want to call your attention this morning to the Lamb of God. He can take your sin away. The Lamb of God. Look at it. See, John here, we have here in these verses an account of John's testimony concerning Christ. John had witnessed it through his own disciples that followed him. And as soon as Christ was baptized, he was immediately heard into the wilderness. And John, the next day, coming back, John saw him. Behold, the Lamb of God. See, John said he must decrease this. Amen. But Jesus would increase.
That's right.
So we see John here is not taking any credit.
Amen.
He said, as one coming whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose.
Amen.
And John is pointing us to that Lamb this morning.
Amen.
And I want to point you to the Lamb of God.
Yes.
That takes away the sin of the world. And during his absence there, John had continued to bear witness of Christ and to tell the people of him. But now he sees him. The Lamb. That's touching right in there. The Lamb of God. Now what is a lamb in the first place? Innocence, isn't it? Neil and I want to say something here. The only one lamb, not many of one,
Amen.
But only one lamb.
Amen.
That's Jesus.
Amen.
One Lamb of God, and that's Christ. He saw him as his own. And he said he taketh away. Well, if he taketh away, what does he do with it? He bears it himself. Jesus takes our sin and bears it.
Amen.
He who knew no sin bear our sin upon the tree. And I want to point you to that Lamb this morning. I want you to take it. The title given to Christ. The Lamb of God. That great sacrifice. None other. Which atonement is made for sin. No other being. The Lamb of God. Which the Lamb is supposed to exhibit an emblem of innocence. He's innocent. He was led to the slaughter. opened not his mouth. He was dumb. He opened not his mouth. There was no guilt. There was no guile in the Lamb of God, Jesus. And his nature was spotless. We can't say that. We have sin. But there are some people live as though that they have no sin. Because they turn their backs on the Lamb of Calvary.
Yes.
Don't turn your back. I want you to get this. Get it. These few words that I tried to utter to you this morning. Accept this spotless Lamb. His life was perfect. His conduct was unblameable. He had not any sinful wickedness at all. Mm-hmm. Only one somebody could say that. That was Christ.
Amen.
Because if he had any sinful weakness, he couldn't bear my sin.
That's right.
Old wretch like me.
Amen.
He couldn't bear old wretch like us.
That's right.
He couldn't bear our sin.
Amen.
So it had to be an innocent being.
Yes.
And Christ fitted the description.
Amen.
I think of him coming from Bojo.
All right.
Died gummers on.
Amen.
That was him, wasn't it?
Amen.
He had his... Phew.
Amen.
He tried the wine press alone.
Yes.
No one could help him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Take a look at the Lamb.
Amen.
Take a look at Christ.
Amen.
The Lamb of God.
Amen.
Take it away.
Amen.
The sin of the world.
Amen.
Behold him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you later on in this message, how do you behold him?
Right.
How do you see him?
Amen.
Personal. How do you view Christ? As your Lamb? You will see that later on. He's a Lamb also shows an emblem of meekness and patience. And how did he display this in his whole life? The whole life of Christ. He was meek, harmless, and undefiled. He showed it his whole life, even when they were persecuting him. He said, forgive them.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So church, when you are persecuted, they don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
If you go God's land,
Amen.
Let men persecute you.
Amen.
Let them talk about you.
Amen.
Let them say, oh, men of evil against you.
Amen.
You pray for them.
Amen.
You pray for those who despitefully use you.
Amen.
If you know the Lamb of Calvary, you will pray.
Amen.
When he was insulted, when he was despised, you're going to be despised. You're going to be despised, Christian, if you accept Christ and know the Lord is your Savior. Men will despise you because you know Christ. They rejected him. But he said, it's not me. Don't worry about it. When they mocked him, and they heaped cruelty of indignities upon him. Yet, he endured the contradiction of sinners.
Yes.
And you know, if Christ hadn't carried that out, where would we be this moment?
Amen.
I would have been of all men most miserable.
Amen.
But thanks be to God, I have a Lamb that John saw this morning.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm happy about that. He was led before the priests, before Pilate. And Pilate washed his hands. He couldn't find no fault in him. He said, I find no fault in him. And you know why was he couldn't find any? Because there wasn't any to be found. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He ain't going to find fault. You know, I don't care what you do. As a church, Christian, somebody gonna find fault of
it. Amen.
I don't care what you set out to do. Somebody is gonna find fault of it. But you go on anyway. You pray for that rascal when he try to find fault of it. Pray for him. Don't you throw brick for brick. Because that's not the Lamb spirit. We pupils to exemplify our lamb spirit this morning.
Amen.
Easily entreated.
Yes.
But you go on, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Even on the cross, he exemplified a nature of meekness, patience, as the Lamb of God. And what else are they see? Usefulness. There's no creature ever or more useful than a lamb. Even its flesh is meat. I think about some lamb chops. You can't beat them. It's flesh even. As a lamb, its wool is used for clothing. What I want to invite you to put on that robe this morning,
right,
is Christ's hand. The robe of righteousness.
Yeah.
I want you to dress up with the armor. Put on the helmet of salvation.
Yeah.
Have your feet charred with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
And all that's in you, live peacefully.
Amen.
With all me.
Amen.
Let's exemplify the spirit of a lamb. And he provides that best robe. You see, when I put on Christ, I know I'm fully dressed. I know I have on a full wardrobe when I have on Jesus. I'm dressed up and ready for battle. I'm ready. What else does this show? I'm dressed up. I'm not worried about the style that way, Papa. As long as I please Jesus. If I please the Lord, I'm going to displease me. As long as I please Christ. I don't care how I look.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't say nothing about my looks, no way. He said your heart, didn't he? God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outer appearance. What are you looking at this morning? Are you looking at the Lamb of Calvary? Then what else about Jesus? The work of Christ. What does he do? Take it away. The sin of the world. He takes it away. How does he take it away then, brother preacher? He takes it away by his obedience and death. Even the death of the cross.
Yes.
He takes it away, the sin of the world. In other words, man has a way now open that they may come. Now, you know, God is not going to force himself upon you. No, but he made the way possible that men can come.
Yes.
If they want it. I say come to Christ, not to the church. Because if you come to the Lord, you're coming to the church.
Amen.
There's no ifs and ands, buts about that. Come to the Lord and then to the church. He took it away because of the sin of the world. In other words, Christ carried the world's sin. What I deserve, Christ carried it. I deserve complete annihilation. I shouldn't be here this morning. If it was left of me, I wouldn't be here this morning. But the Lamb took it away.
Amen.
He takes away that sin.
Yes.
I can't live a sinful life. I didn't say I didn't sin now. But I won't practice a sinful life.
Yes.
And John said over there in 1 John, he said, commit. I can't practice the life of sin no more.
Amen.
But I'm going to sin. But he said, if you sin, what did he say that in 1 John 1:9? You have an advocate with the Father, and he gives his name. That's the Lamb, isn't it? Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus, not Mary. Thank you. What does he do with it? The whole guilty, a wretched, helpless, condemned, threatened of death. As it goes forth, Christ magnified the Lord in his life.
Amen.
He endured the curse by being made a curse for us. Cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Don't worry about it, church. By his voluntary sacrifice. Nobody make him do it. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. I voluntarily lay it down. Nobody take it away. I lay it on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. Won't you take this lamb this morning? Take him. Try him on for size. seen another world. He's seen, he bear our sins in his own body. He lived and he died that he might suffer the just for the unjust. To bring us to God, Christ gave himself for us. A sweet smelling savior. Isn't it beautiful? Just stop to think this morning. You know, we read that scripture over and over. I've quoted it. We've heard it preached. But you know, it grabs you. You know, behold, look, the Lamb of God. He's doing something for you. He's taking away the sin of the world. Behold, look at him. Then this week, you read that and look at it, but you don't think too much of it. The Lamb of God. So, Jesus. But what does it really mean to you? He redeemed us to God by his blood.
Amen.
The blood that Christ shed on the cross. It was my redeeming. He bought me back from under sin's penalty. He saved me from the sin of this old world. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:26. He was manifested to take away our sin. In 1 John 3:5, he died for the sin of the world. What's the world waiting for? You know what the world needs? The world needs preaching of somebody to proclaim Christ. That's what the world needs. Somebody that's not afraid to stand up and tell people a world that Jesus lives.
Amen.
That's what God wants. And that pleases God.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of nothing.
Amen.
I know the Lamb of God.
Amen.
I know he died for my sins.
Amen.
And I'll tell the world. I'll tell it in the White House.
Amen.
Any house, I don't care.
Amen.
That Jesus is Savior.
Amen.
And I know him as my Savior.
Amen.
And don't let nobody shake you off of that.
Amen.
If you're rooted and grounded in Christ, nobody will be able to move you.
Amen.
He taketh away the guilt of sin by his justifying grace. See, I'm not automatically right. I declare to be right through the justifying grace of Jesus. The gospel announces the redemption through his blood for us. That's what I'm doing today. I'm trying to announce the redemption of Christ.
Amen.
I'm trying to tell the world that Jesus lives.
Amen.
And he's the Lamb that we accept as most for the sin of the world. All right? And he forgives us of sin by believing in him.
Amen.
Now believing. We've had that here. We studied it and studied it, what believing is. But some of you might not know what believing is. I believe it, I accept it. I take it. Now I appropriate him unto myself. I don't believe Christ is a head knowledge. This was a man in history. But I believe that I take him. I hold on to him and take a hold and appropriate him to myself. Then that's Bible belief. Not a head knowledge. Because I can have all the head knowledge in the world and know nothing about Christ.
Amen.
Nothing at all. But you appropriate him to yourself. He's food to me.
Mm-hmm.
He helps me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on my bed of affliction,
mm-hmm.
he comes by and he visits me.
Uh-huh.
He woke me up soon this morning.
Amen.
He turned me into the house of prayer.
Amen.
He's a miracle worker.
Amen.
And we see that this morning.
Amen.
I love him, don't you?
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Look at him. He take it. Ah, what else he does? He does all things well.
Amen.
He blotted out my sins.
Yes.
He wiped the slate clean.
Amen.
And I can't live no more in sin.
Amen.
He wiped it out. Well, if he wiped it out, why am I still hanging around at it?
Amen.
He wiped it clean. If there's no more on the plate to eat, why am I still holding on to the plate?
Amen.
I ate up everything. Look like it, don't I?
Yeah.
But why am I still holding on? If he wiped the slate clean, you get this.
Mm-hmm.
Might sound funny, But I know I'm not worried about how I sound. I want you to get what I mean. He takes away the guilt of sin. He takes away the pollution of sin. Sin has polluted our lives. Christ came and wiped it out. But you have to take it. Believe me, you have to receive it. Trust in it. Rely upon it. Otherwise, you're going to hang right around there till doomsday. The judgment comes. Those of you that's out here that doesn't know Christ, you pay attention. Listen to me this morning. You better take it. It's getting late. It's later than you think, church. The Lord is coming back. And he had us through the writer John to proclaim this morning the Lamb of God. He's taken away the sin of the world. I'm waiting for him. I know he's coming. And if you're a Christian, you're waiting. Like old Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Yes.
And when he saw him, what did he say? Now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Are you waiting? Thank God this morning. The blood. And you know what? Jesus is so good. He's so good to us.
Amen.
You know, you're ashamed to even look up. Be like that old sinner.
Yes.
He went to the house of prayer, the publican.
Yes.
He started so low himself, he wouldn't even much look up.
Yes.
Just smooth on his breast. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's all you have to say, son. Just say, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And the scripture said that man went home justified. Who set right Pharisee, he won't get in on it. Let's look at another thing here. The attention Christ demands. The attention Christ demands. Behold! Look! We cannot behold him as John denied the Jews there. We cannot behold him in the same way, I'm saying. But how do we behold him then? In the mystery of his incarnation. How low did he stoop? How low did he humble himself? How wonderful the constitution of his person. Jesus stooped low, didn't he? You know, are we willing actually to take low stoops? You say you know the Lamb of God. You're going to be called on in this life to take low stoops. You're going to be called on in this life somewhere down the line to take low. The world is going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun at you. They're going to misuse you. But you go on and willing to take low as Christ did. He didn't say a word. He went on. Not one mumbling word. He went on and took it. But church, you go ahead. Don't worry about it. He humbled himself. He bore our sin. The Son of Emmanuel. Behold him in the wonders of his life. The holy life. I think we was talking in Sunday school, and Sister Hawkins mentioned something about a holy life. A separated life. That's all it is. Consecrated life. A dedicated life. Not all the stuff that people call holy. I'm a Christian, but I'm not holy. You're not Christian then. Because all it means is separated. Hagias. I ain't gonna say that. You know, you say don't use those words if you can't back them up. You like, call on me to back that up one day. I can't do it. All right. Separated, I'm dedicated, consecrated to the service of God. That's all holy is.
Amen.
And didn't he have a wonderful life? A life of sorrow. Christian, we're going to have some sorrows, aren't we?
Yeah.
Isn't that anything going to be rosy every day?
Amen.
But Jesus, if you follow Christ, he said, in this life, you will have tribulations, trials, testings. But he said, if I overcome, sure save you. He will overcome. Now you know that too.
Amen.
Oh, that's good. I can't stop to tell you how good God is. It's no words. It's not enough words to say how good he is. He's so good to me. I can brag on God. I didn't say I brag on myself. I can brag on what God can do. I can't do anything. Don't get me wrong. And he led a life of self-denial. Oh, brother. We don't want to deny ourselves of nothing. Nothing. But he said, except a man deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily, he cannot be my disciple. Amen. Deny yourself. Deny yourself of good times. You young people, your so-called good times. You're not having a good time. Now, I want to tell you something. I was out there too. And I haven't been too long coming out there. You call yourself having a good time out there in the world, it's nothing out there but hell and destruction. Amen. So, but you want a good time, accept Christ as your Savior. Amen. And that's what you call a good time. Amen. That's a happy time. Because you know you're going to be with your Father one day. See, all the devil's going to give you is a goodbye. And you're wasting time with Satan. Don't let him catch you out there. Accept the Lamb this morning that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Being with a life of suffering, we know how Christ suffered. We know how our pastor suffered. But God is able, isn't he? In that suffering, Christ is working out something all along. Amen. I may not have the sickness that he has, but I'm going to suffer somewhere for Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't mind suffering for Christ. Amen. I don't mind suffering for a cause. Amen. And Christ is my cause. He said, any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but rather let him glorify God on this behalf. What behalf? Behalf of suffering. I'm going to suffer for him. He's going to suffer reproach. And yet, he was still a miracle and mercy. Out of all of that suffering, out of all of the reproach, yet, sorrow, he still was a man of miracles and mercy. Mercy. And that's what I need this morning, is some mercy. Behold him in the overwhelming agonies of Gethsemane. Can you see him in Gethsemane? Drops of blood, sweat dropped off him like drops of blood. He said, Father, move this cup.
Hi, this is John, the recorder of the Point 8 Tape Ministry. That brings an end to side one of this sermon. At this time, you can turn the tape over to side two to hear the remaining part of this sermon, this fantastic amount of words of God speaking about Jesus as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, as preached by Reverend Louis Finister there at our own church, the Olivet Baptist Church, on March 17, 1985. Let's turn the tape over at this time. God bless you.
Wow. 1985, and here it is, 2022. And I'm listening to, we were both co-pastors at Olivet because Reverend Stanley had just gotten out of the hospital. He was in there. And let me see, if this was March, April, May, June, I think Jake died in May, I think, of 1985. Let me see if I can turn this thing over so we can hear the rest of this. It's just great to be able to listen to my good brother Finister, who was preaching on that Sunday. Let me just take the tape over and turn it over, because I'm not hitting, obviously, the right button here. And when you don't hit the right button, it ain't going to do right, right? Let's see what we got. Should be starting right back up, part two of this. And, you know, these old cassette tapes, jewels, man, just jewels, because you don't hear preaching like this in our churches today. And this is the kind of preaching that I was raised on. Lewis was from Louisiana, from the Deep South, and I was born here in Los Angeles. We were both sons of Olivet, and the pastor ordained both of us. So that is what we're listening to now. Now, I'm hoping that this thing is playing, because if it's not, then I'm just...
If thou wilt.
Ah, here we are. Come on, Lewis, preach.
I'll take it. Bring it on. Bring on something. I can easily talk now, but God's going to bring on some stuff. He's going to make me bag up these words that I'm trying to say. He suffered, didn't he? Yet it was for my sake. He took it all. He took all my sins and took them to Calvary. And there he bore. How can my kid be happy this morning? I'm happy. And giving his soul, an offering of sin, he took that bitter cup. What if he had refused it? We wouldn't have been wiped out, would we? But thanks be to God. Do you really praise him? Do you really praise him? Do you really thank him for what he's done? Thank God for what he's done for you. I don't expect the man, the sinner, to thank God, because he has nothing to be thankful for. But a Christian can really thank God. He didn't leave you out. He made a way for me. Behold him in the sufferings of the cross. That's how I look at it. He suffered from the old Calvary as he hung out there. And then when he said it was finished, the veil rent from top to bottom. The way is open now. Come on. Here's the lamb that we've been talking about. Come on and receive it. And he suffered unto death. Look at that. Behold him in the resurrection from the tomb. He got up. He rose for my justification. Died for my redemption, but he rose for my justification. I'm grateful this moment for Jesus. He's able. Thank God. He got up, and I'm going to get up too one day. I'm looking for the great resurrection, which is to come. I'm going to rise one day. I'm going to see it as he is. I'm going to see the Lamb. I'll see his hand pierced. I'm going to see him one day. I'm looking forward for it. Thank God. For Jesus. I'm going to see him as he is. I'm grateful for that. Behold him on his mediatorial throne. Right now. He's interceding for me on the throne. I talked about the other day, the throne of grace. And I asked the church to come go to the throne with me. Mercy to help in the time of need. I need some help this morning. I need some mercy. I need something to carry me over. I'm happy this morning. I'm grateful to God for answering my prayer. He will answer prayer. He will answer why you're yet calling. He answered our prayers, didn't he? What is prayer anyway? Not a bunch of words. Servant found his prayer in his heart. You pour out yourself to God and ask him for what you want. He'll give it to you according to his will. I thank him for the rest that he gives. Sensation. I thank God that there remains a rest. I get tired down here. I labor down here. I'm mistreated down here. But I thank God for a rest. In Jesus. I don't look to the rest. That's sensation. I'm not going to see some labor. I must labor on until he say, well done. Well done. Then he ushered me. That's the Lamb of God this morning. Aren't you glad? Now I want to ask some questions here about this. How should we behold him? And I'm finished. How should we here, Christians, behold him? With reverence and humility. That's the first thing. Isaiah cried, woe is me. That, for I've seen the King. Angels desire to look unto these things. the host of heaven was found by it before him. Isaiah said he was under. That's with reverence, with awe, humility. That's how we should behold Jesus. Behold him with shame. Are you ashamed? Look up. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I'm a rat. I'm ashamed, Lord, to even look up. I'm ashamed to even walk. I messed up somewhere. Behold him with shame and contrition. Our sins brought him from heaven. They tried him to death. You know, one for our sins. Christ came as a result of our sin. All the way from heaven down to save a wretch like me. Review yourself as a wretch this morning. And thank God. How else should we behold him with the eye of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. I have faith this morning in Jesus. I have trust in him. That's faith. And faith is active. Faith is not dead. Faith has some feet. Faith will walk. Faith talks. Faith listens. He says, look unto me, didn't he? All ye ends of the earth. And be ye saved. For I'm gone. And there's none else. I have faith in that this moment. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. I have faith in that this moment. I trust in it. And I act on it. I put it in some action. Behold him with doubt, devout, and thankfulness. Hold him with thankfulness. Are you thankful to God? Or you just get what you can get and go and forget God? Thankful to God that he gave him to stand up here this morning. I'm thankful to God for the pastor he brought him back. I'm thankful to God. I put it in action. If I'm thankful to you, I'll show you what I'm thankful. Not by giving you something back, but the way I live. You live thankfully. You live it every day of your life. Your life is a life of thanksgiving as well as thanksgiving. Behold him with supreme affection and delight. Hold him with supreme affection. I delight in thy word, O God. And I hold on to it. And as I close, I'd like to say this. You urge all classes of sinners to behold the Lamb of God. All classes. You don't go out there and pick nobody. You don't go out there and say, well, I won't tell her about Christ because she's such person. You tell all men, I don't care who he is, what he owns, where he lives. That doesn't make any difference. But you don't go there in ignorant reverence. I don't mean that. But you present him as a Savior. You don't present yourself.
No.
You present Christ to me. But you tell all classes of people. Well, there's only one race, and that's the human race. Then the whole world will behold him at the last day. You may not behold him now, but the whole world, they that pierced him, shall look upon him. The whole world will behold him in the last day, and it'll be too late. Don't let it say it too late. Don't let it be said, sinner, it's too late. Then the saints of God shall behold him in glory and forever. Take the lamb. Try the lamb on. Take these words that you heard I tried to speak to you this morning and take it and accept Christ as your Savior. And I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to do just that. To take the Lamb of God. I'm going to give you this opportunity. To take the Lamb as your Savior.
This is John Dollar's home.
Oh, I know you may get weary, and the times they may get rough.
We'll have more words after the sermon, after we listen to this.
You may not have all you want,
but that's all right.
But you'll always have enough.
The Lord promises that through Jesus Christ.
And when your darkest hour will come,
when it comes, listen.
Just remember what I say. I've never seen the righteous forsake. For this
Thank you, Lewis. What a great look back in history. 1985, did I say that was? Oh, Lewis passed away, God bless him, from COVID. He was convalescing, and I just thought that I'd put this up, and I'm going to let his kids and his grandchildren know that it's up, because I'm sure that they would love to hear their daddy preaching. Here again, it was very old cassette tape. And, you know, these tapes get old and they disappear. And the next thing you know, they're just, you know, they're gone. You know, they're gone. So somebody's trying to reach me. All right. Yeah, so, you know, they're gone, but God bless him. He and I were the two associate ministers at Olivet Baptist Church under Reverend James Billy Stanley. It was located at 976 East Jefferson Boulevard in Los Angeles, just west of Central Avenue on Jefferson, where really Jefferson starts. Jefferson Boulevard starts at Central in Jefferson there, and our church was right next to the Angelus Funeral Home. They've turned that whole complex into a bunch of condos, and I'm just happy to be acquainted with Lewis and his family, and I hope that they're blessed by this message. Hey, God bless you, and thank you for coming to my site and paying attention. Talk to you soon.
Is doctrine being taught in today's churches?
Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say doctrine. doctrine. This is not doctrine. This is the word of God. This is not doctrine. He said, do not be deceived by doctrine.
What's the doctrine?
Doctrine. You want the word. You don't want doctrine. Because doctrine is when they teach you itchy ear stuff. He said, be by sound doctrine.
Okay.
You don't want itchy ear.
Okay.
You want the word.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Based on the text tonight, Genesis chapter 39, which T.D. Jakes preached from, do you see how God found favor in Joseph and how it can be applied to your life?
Yeah, if you've been faithful unto God, he will find favor.
And that's the only way?
And by obedience. By obeying.
Okay, thank you very much.
Doctrine is itchy ear stuff. That's very interesting. We're running out of time, but Pat, we do want to talk to you. Thanks for calling us from Downey.
Yes, I have one question.
Yes.
I'm a senior citizen, and I felt in the mail with the Brother Andrew's ministry in Door of Hope, which used to be Communism to Evangelists, where you mail portions of Scripture. And, you know, in those countries, and even today in China and different places, they confiscate. And some of them, they would share just portions. They didn't have the whole Scripture. And it sounds to me like you're making it complicated. I've read the Bible through several times, but I guess doctrine, the way I look at it is we're a fallen, we needed a Savior, God the Son was incarnate and came down from, he left heaven and took on flesh, and he was our propitiation, he was our sacrificial lamb, and we're saved by the blood.
Pat, that's wonderful. I think that's a wonderful diagnosis that you've given of your particular insight into Christian faith, but we are not talking about that. We are talking about
when you say doctrine, what do you mean?
We've already given a definition of doctrine.
I guess I tuned in late.
Yeah, well, we've already given a definition of doctrine, but I'll give it again. I will give it again. No, Pat, we're in agreement. It is a brief teaching or any teaching regarding theological themes, anything that regards the nature and the works of God. That is what doctrine is.
Do you believe that also includes healing? Do you think it's God's nature to heal?
Yes, we do.
You know what, Pat? We're going to have some interviews on healing next week. So if you listen in to that show, you can call us back and we can really get into a dialogue with you, okay?
Let me give a short little testimony.
No. There's no time for that, Pat. No. We have to go. Thank you, Pat. We have to go.
You know what? I wanted to say to Pat, our good friend in Highland, she hung up. Call us back, Pat. We love hearing from you.
Yes.
With that insight.
Absolutely. All right, brother, and I think that, let me see, we're not going to take one, we're not going to take two. Okay, let's wrap it up. We've had a great time discussing some of these issues. We've listened to those particular interviews. I hope that the young man calls us back and so that we can speak with him.
Right. This was not done to belittle anyone.
No.
What we are doing is showing you the state of the church.
Yes.
We are here to help.
Yes.
We didn't play these interviews and make fun of people and say, aha, look. We brought forth the Bible study and explain how that favor, if you want to use the word favor, in Genesis 39 works. We wanted to clarify that because we heard someone preach it wrong.
Absolutely.
And we wanted you to see, because we're in the booth all the time and we get your calls and we deal with people that you don't understand, but people are really misguided. So we had the interviews to show you the misguidedness that we deal with.
And we will deal with more of that next week as we listen to some of those other issues. And we also do know that many of you that go to Church of the Harvest are offended by what we're doing, because what we're doing is we are revealing some things. Now, quite naturally, you're thinking, well, I'm going to find some things to reveal about you. Now, my brothers, I'll do it myself. I don't need you to do that. You see, it's not about telling on each other. It is about protecting the church. That is what we do. This ministry is not a ministry that hands out tracts, that gives salvation Bible studies. We have enough churches in our community that does that. This ministry sees itself as a watchdog, so to say. We're looking at churches. We're looking at the practices that goes on in the church. We didn't ask for this calling in our lives. God has placed us here for such a time as this. And we see ourselves as a blessing. And if you see us as a blessing, we would love to hear from you. Mark is going to give you that address again. Mike, Elsie, thank you for joining us. Lord willing, we'll have another group of men in next week.
And until that time, let's all keep living by the word.
Ah, what a radio presentation. And I'm telling you, I, you know, when I look back, because this is the end of February, the year 2022, that was done. And let me check the date to make sure that I have it right. Yes, August the 17th, 1997. Wow. Just to be able to correspond in a way that, look at the state of the church today, if you can find the church in a particular state, in terms of what you believe about the Bible. I talk with people all the time, and when they, you know, and I let them know that I'm retired, that I'm a retired pastor. I don't pastor anymore. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call from a brother that I was very well acquainted with when I belonged to the traditional Protestant church. As a matter of fact, he was one of the members of the church that I pastored. And out of the blue, he calls me yesterday, and I haven't spoken with him in, well, quite a long time. And he's scheduled to come by and visit me. And I was telling him in the conversation that I was having with him how much I loved him, how much I loved his family, his sons, his friends, how I loved going by his home, visiting them. They have a beautiful home, so much larger than my own, and the hospitality of his family, and especially his sons, very aggressively male, and just, I loved them. And I was speaking with the man, and I was telling him how much I loved other men in the church. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is, let me stop this right there. There we go. And I was telling him about how enthusiastic I was about seeing him again so that we can talk over those things. And I was sharing with him that I haven't changed in what I believe about the Word of God. I haven't. Now, me coming out, that's a personal thing that I did, because we're living in a day and age where in this country you can be who you are. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of my life or the lifestyle that I live. I have never blasphemed God and done anything that will bring shame to his name. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't do that. But as you listen to these series of radio presentations that we have up, I want you to know that this is when I was at the apex of my career. I wasn't just a pastor that got behind the pulpit and talked 20 minutes about nothing, because I listen to these preachers today, and I'm going to tell you the truth. They aren't giving you anything. And you can go out to Panorama City and listen to JMJ and him teaching everything line upon line and frame upon frame. But if your heart is against anyone in a racial way, and you have those kind of, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you. I've come to the point where I believe in God, and I believe in the power of God and what God is doing in all the peoples of the worlds and of the universes. I believe in that God. And I want to thank you for coming to my website. Be sure to listen to the next radio presentation. I'm going to try to put them all up before I die. And I want to put them up and so that you will have an historical record of what John E. Coleman Jr. did in his life for the sake of the church, the called out ones of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't believe that he was a white European. No, I do not. I know better than that. I know that he comes from Northern Africa, and he's from the continent, and that's all right with me. I appreciate that, and I appreciate all of you that appreciate me by coming to my website. Thank you so much. Going 5 minutes over, that's my bad. I love you. Join us next time for the next show. Oh, and I will be playing some clips from my late departed. I think the next clip I'm going to put up is Reverend Louis Finister was one of the associate ministers at the Olivet Baptist Church when I was there, and he passed away due to COVID. And I found some of his old messages, and I'll put up 5 or 10 minutes of old time preaching so you can hear it. To the Finister family that listens to me, I'll be putting your daddy's sermon up real soon. God bless you.